Hey there, Ford Alliance, our extended digital family. Once again, we're glad to be together. This week, we celebrated, we recognized International Women's Day. And I'm really glad that we're at this place where we're recognizing the need and the necessity of just empowering our women, our sisters, to have this just level of equality that we men and brothers ought to give them. And so I'm really glad we had that. And it made me think about some of the, you know, the key women in my life. Obviously, there's my wife who literally makes me want to be a better man. Like, I day by day just admire things in her that I'm like, man, I need to be more like that. There's my mom who, man, for the moms who have crazy teenage boys. There's my mom who, in the midst of those chaotic years, was like a stalwart and like stood by my side, right? I'm so grateful for her. It got me, though, thinking of kind of a different lady that I thought I would mention. Her name was Leanne Sauer. She's the only Sunday school teacher that never kicked me out of her class. That is a powerhouse woman of faith right there. Leanne Sauer, the only one I can remember who never kicked me out of her class. And that was in like teenage years too. And I just remember like really having a respect and even an awe for her that I appreciated. I could tell that she was a woman who loved God and who also loved me. And I wanted to be like around her and with her. Anyways, this got me thinking to another real powerhouse woman of the faith that, you know, I've mentioned her briefly before, but I thought I'd mention her again, and maybe some of you in here might recognize her. I would imagine a number of you won't. Her name is Henrietta Mears. Anyone know who Henrietta Mears is? Got lots of no's. Okay, I'm gonna read you a little bit about Henrietta Mears, all right? This woman is a powerhouse, okay? This is so cool. This is from a book called If, by the way, which is by Mark Batterson, who's just an author I really, really enjoy. It's a good book if you want to read a book on Romans chapter 8. Anyways, he's writing now. What do Billy Graham, Campus Crusade founder, or Campus Crusade for Christ founder Bill Bright, Young Life founder Jim Rayburn, Navigator founder Dawson Trotman, and former Senate chaplain Richard Halverson have in common? The answer is a Sunday school teacher named Henrietta Mears. That's cool. Hey, that is cool. Let me keep reading, though. In the kingdom of God, we're a multi-level, if the kingdom of God were a multi-level marketing pyramid, each of them would be Henrietta Mears' downline. Perhaps that's why Christianity Today dubbed her the grandmother of us all. When Henrietta was 38, she moved from Minnesota to the town called Hollywood, California. What her what if was the Sunday school at First Presbyterian Church in Hollywood, which Henrietta led to an astounding attendance of 6,500 students. For four decades, can't imagine dealing with kids for four decades, she faithfully devoted herself to her passion of building a cradle-to-grave Sunday school ministry. While she was at it, she also started a publishing company called, and some of you might recognize it, Gospel Light, and a conference center called Forest Home. And she wrote a book, What the Bible is All About, which has sold more than 3 million copies. Powerhouse woman, hey? Like, how cool is that? When you read, like, the people she's influenced, I'm like, whew, man. World could use more Henrietta Mears. Anyways, this kind of got me then thinking too a little bit about my boys and how I'm grateful for, you know, the powerhouse women in their life and just the opportunities that more and more we see in culture, in society for our women to lead in ways that they are so gifted and should have always been leading. Anyways, as I was thinking about opportunities in that sense, it made me think of another opportunity that came up with International Women's Day. It was an opportunity on the video game Fortnite. Anyone here know what Fortnite is? Okay, we got a few of you. You got grandkids, right? Okay. So Fortnite's this video game, for those of you who don't. It's an online game. And on International Women's Day, there were some special rewards. Great opportunity, right? At least so my son thought. He comes upstairs and he says to my other son, guess what? Fortnite, there's special rewards. You got to go get them. This is a great opportunity. You need to go get the rewards. And so we ask him, what are these rewards for? And he goes, he says this, it's Irrational Woman's Day. My wife looks at me and goes, what did you say? It's Irrational Woman's Day. He's, Mom, there's awards on the video game. She's like, it is not irrational. This is literally what she says. She looks up, it is not irrational. I can't even say it. Woman's Day. This might be make your own lunch day though, son. It is actually International Woman's Day. Oh, sorry. You gotta be careful about those opportunities and make sure you read the phrase right. Anyways, I start off with a couple opportunity stories because I want to get to, at the very end, what I think is one of the greatest opportunities our generation has ever had in the midst of the season we find ourselves in the text that that John and 1 John will lead us to. So we're gonna talk and head to the opportunities that we have. So 1 John is where we're at. We're in chapter 2, verses 7 to 11. And I know I touched on some of these verses last week, but we're going to reread them. We're going to talk them through a little bit more, and then we're going to wrap it all up after, okay? So 1 John chapter 2, 7 to 11. We're going to go with 7 and 8 to start. It reads like this. Dear friends, I am not writing a new commandment for you. Rather, it is an old one you have had from the beginning. This old commandment to love one another is the same message you heard before, yet it is also new. Jesus lived in the truth of this commandment, and you are also living in it, for the darkness is disappearing and the true light is already shining. The Apostle John starts off with, dear friends. A lot of your translations will use the word beloved, and that Greek word for beloved right there is the word agapateos, which if you're familiar with the word love in the Greek, you'll know that the word agape is like the strongest kind of word for love in our New Testament. And so when John starts off with beloved or dear friends or agapateos, he really is bringing us in this place where he wants them to see like this matters. Like, I love you guys so much. Like, I want you to get this. I want you to wrestle this through. I want you to understand this. And I think that's the same heart we ought to come at this today. And then he speaks of this command, which we talked about last week, to love one another. He says, it's a new commandment, but it's actually an old command. Let's start with that phrase, an old command. Now, when you start reading on the about this old command, there's a couple two wavelengths that people will go out with it. Some will call it a relative old command, meaning it's something that God wanted to institute like from the beginning in the garden. It was sort of this idea that love was to be this force that kind of drove us and God in our relationship and us with each other. The very topic we're talking about, fellowship with God and within ourselves and with others. Others will suggest that it is actually more of an absolute old command, meaning it's referring directly to the ancient Jewish law, you know, to love God as yourself, right? To love your neighbor as yourself. They would say it's an absolute. And it's interesting when you read people kind of navigate through that. Nonetheless, when I get to moments like that, I think it might actually be both. I think it's fair to think of it like both. And so he says it's actually an old commandment to love one another. And it's the same message that you heard before, yet it is also new. Jesus lived the truth of this command. Now, there was one commentator that really got me thinking as I was reading on this when he was speaking to the new command. He said it like this. He said, this is not so much new in kind, but ever new in experience. I like that. This is not so much new in kind, but ever new in experience. It's an overflow of living like Jesus, which we talked about last week, which we're going to end on today. And then he goes on to say this. See, in fact, that the old is actually made new in the hands of a master. Now, this got me thinking, but before I go on, I want to preface this little statement or this next little illustration, if I will. See, 2 weeks, Pastor Ashley was speaking, and she said something along the lines of this. You know, there are sports illustrations used up here, so I think it is fair for me when I'm talking about Dark's life to use an illustration that she, as a woman, really got. And she used the illustration of makeup. And I engaged fully. You know, I was all in with her listening to makeup. So I thought to myself, Master, you know what that makes me think of? Mixed martial arts. There you go, Ash. Bringing it around, full circle. Because in mixed martial arts, I don't know if you've ever noticed, there's often these young, chiseled athletes who are just at the peak form of their physicality, but they're being trained by a master or his sensei who is probably older in many cases than their parents even. Have you ever noticed that? That there's a really old sensei or master that's often working with these athletes. The gym I used to train at, we all had this kind of sensei that we were aware of, although we didn't train directly under him, named Stan Paterek. He was the age of my parents, but we all kind of came under his study through his students, and there was this respect, this awe for what he had done. In fact, I know some of you will appreciate kind of these types of stories to kind of make it more interest neutral, if you will. But he trained some of like the leading combat forces in the world. He actually also had a stint as Halle Berry's personal bodyguard. How cool is that? Like, that's big time, right? Anyways, that was him. But if that doesn't land for you, how about this? Rocky, he had Mick, right? Danielson, you know, he had Mr. Miyagi. There's this like this reality, like the old like takes comes in and it's mastered it and turns it into something new, right? I get this picture as I'm reading this verse of Jesus being like our sensei, our master. You know, Jesus lived the truth of this command. He mastered the truth of this commandment to love one another. Which then got me, you know, just thinking of a couple other passages on Jesus and the love that he poured out for us. And so I just want to read a couple of them because they just, they land and they're so timely, I think, on this passage. This first one's Ephesians 3, 18, 19. And it says this, and may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of the Master. It actually says Christ. You see what I'm saying? Though it is too great to understand fully, you will be made complete with all of the fullness of life and power, that you may be made complete with all the fullness and power that comes from God. Romans has another passage that I think's really worth us looking at. From Romans chapter 8, interestingly enough, which was a book I just read from that was all on Romans chapter 8. It reads like this. I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord, or in this instance, in Christ Jesus, our Master. I love how John brings us to this old commandment that's really made new. It's a continual new experience that we grow into and we understand through the person of Jesus. It takes us right back to how we kind of wrapped up last week. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did, or walk as Jesus did, or love as Jesus did. We talked, though, about how difficult this can be, didn't we, last week? In the light of culture, in light of politics, we used examples. I won't rehash it all, but we pressed into that, how difficult that could be. Even in this day, I would say, in my life, maybe more difficult than it's ever been. But nonetheless, Jesus had this way, didn't he? Where he built this bridge called love. Through differing cultures, through differing political ideologies, and kind of linked people together in who he was, his mission, and his desire to see us then model and become a people of love like him. And then 9, 10, and 11 bring out two things that I want to highlight. I'm going to actually read 9 and 11 together first, and then I'm going to wrap it all up with 10. Because 9 and 11, they really speak to, they point to, I think, this challenge we face in this day. It says this, if anyone claims, I am living in the light, but hates a fellow believer, that person is still living in darkness. Let me skip to 11. Anyone who hates a fellow believer is still living and walking in darkness. Such a person does not know the way to go, having been blinded by the darkness. John presses so fully into this idea that we are to be a people of fellowship that he says, look, your fellowship with God will be revealed in how you fellowship with others. That's something to think on. Something to chew on these days. Now, you might be thinking, well, I hate though, Pastor Ken. Like, I don't hate. I mean, that's a strong word, right? Hate? Okay, fair. I would just counter it with this. More than any day in my life or any time in my life, I see how Satan is looking to leverage the season of these last couple years to divide and conquer. How he's looking to rip apart families, friendships, and definitely churches. As he polarizes people with cultural viewpoints and with political ideologies and puts them at each other. And the Apostle John, the apostle who wants us to be known and marked as a people of love, says, just be aware. You can't hate a fellow believer and still be in fellowship with God. That's really pointed. The enemy wants to leverage the season. We have to be aware of that and stand against that. And so then, you know, well, what does that look like? What should that be lived out like? Well, the same author, John, in chapter 17 of his gospel, writes maybe one of the most powerful prayers, dare I say, the most powerful prayers ever, as Jesus gives this high priestly prayer. And within it, he says this, as he's praying for his disciples and the disciples to come, he says, Father in heaven, I pray that they would be one as we are one, that the world would know. And when we move into that place where we allow the enemy to leverage the season and divide and conquer, we not only are at odds with one another, we don't present ourselves well to the world who's desperately in need of Jesus, do we? Jesus prays that we would be one that the world would know, even in the days we find ourselves today. So on one hand, 9 and 11 would cause me to be certain that I just see the enemy looking to leverage this season. But then verse 10 flips that, because verse 10, I have this hope, this reality that I also see Jesus looking to leverage this season. Because in verse 10, we then read this, anyone who loves a fellow believer is living in the light and doesn't cause others to stumble. How significant is that for us, a people who say we are, you know, love God and love others? that we would live in light in such a way that we don't cause others to suffer. That's how we ought to live. That's how we ought to be marked. That's how we ought to, you know, live as Jesus lived from last week, or walk as Jesus walked from last week, or love as Jesus loved. To take that bridge. I got a real life example for you. It's as real as it gets for me in the last few months. And by the way, you just need to know that Pastor Ashley knows the exact example I'm about to give, and she totally signed off on me sharing this, okay? So I just want to be clear that I'm not speaking behind her back right now, if you will. About 6 months ago, we started the process of, you know, having conversations about Ashley coming back. Now, for those of you that know Pastor Ashley and those of you that know me, it will be no surprise to you that we had different lenses that we saw the season of COVID through at different times. And I want to be clear, neither one of us was right, neither one of us was wrong. We had these lenses that we had to interpret what we had to interpret through in the season, and that's okay. But nonetheless, I knew it could potentially be very challenging. And how do we get to this place where we allow Jesus to leverage this season and not the other way around, right? And so I was actually on a prayer retreat with our denomination. And I spent some time, we were in the mountains, so I spent some time, which is one of my happy places, just sitting with Jesus in the mountains and talking this through. And it was crystal clear. I heard Jesus with total clarity. He said this, Ken, you got two options. You allow this to be really destructive to you, really destructive to Ashley, and really destructive to the church. Or, option two, you both agree to model how two people who see things differently can come together under the name of Jesus and work for his kingdom. Up to you, Ken. You choose. Well, I came back, I booked a visit with Ash right away. I said, Jesus told me this. We got two options. And we were both like, option two. And to this day, like, I mean it, like, we press in because we love. It doesn't even bother me that there's moments where we see things differently. It doesn't. Because I trust her. And I know that she trusts me too. We choose to let Jesus leverage this season to unite us so that we might show how people who maybe see things slightly different can still be a part of his kingdom, working for his causes, and come under that banner of love and take that bridge. This is perhaps the greatest opportunity we've had. I really believe in our day, incredible opportunity awaits us for the church. Last week, I told you how I was proud that we didn't go to one side or that the other side, that we did our best to find the middle and work through it and slug through it and not alienate this side or that side, but to just figure it out. I'm really proud of that. Today, I say, look, we have incredible opportunity to continue to press in, be marked by love, be one, as Jesus and the Father are one. To not allow cultural or political differences push us aside, but to allow that bridge that Jesus built called love fully embody what it means to live as he lived, to walk as he walked, and to love as he loved. And so my hope, my prayer, is that we'll continue to navigate that, to allow Jesus to leverage this season, to unite us as his people, people who have fellowship with God that is demonstrated, lived out in our fellowship with one another. I'm going to close again by just praying, inviting Holy Spirit to speak. I just want to give you a chance to bow with me. Holy Spirit, thanks for leading the Apostle John to write these words that are also applicable for us today. If there's anything in my life, Holy Spirit, that you need to bring into the light, I just want to give you permission to do that. If there's any place where I'm not allowing my fellowship with others to model the fellowship I have with God, would you show me? Would you show us? Holy Spirit, if there is any way that I can just, with greater levels, be a person who lives in fellowship with others, with your people. Would you put that on my heart and on my mind? Would you give me the power to live that out? Would you direct us even now, individually? We thank you that you, Jesus, modeled a life in relationship with God, that ultimately you gave your life out of love for us, that we can't come to you and say we're sorry, ask for forgiveness, and then give you our life back. Today we just say that and do that again. Use us for your honor and glory with this incredible opportunity that awaits, that we would truly embody that old yet made new commandment to love one another.